Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apartcast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. And as always, we're going to get things started with the roundup from this week's slate of EPG meetings. Take it away, Bri.
Yeah, so this week the topic predominantly was centered around health. Specifically the physical well-being of residents in long-term or senior care facilities. In an update by the county's public health director, Dr. Douglas Holt, members of the emergency policy group were told that over the course of the past week, the number of hospitalizations in the county had increased from 48 to 133, and the majority of those hospitalizations came from long-term care patients. If you've been listening to our podcast or staying up to date on the news, you know that that's a big jump. It's one we really haven't seen. And so that kind of set everyone at the meeting on edge. Dr. Holt kind of walked the members through the processes in place at most of these facilities. If they have a resident that tests positive for COVID-19, they pretty much have two options. They can either send them to a section within the facility that is completely isolated from the rest of the residents and that will have access to all of the care required to handle a patient that could develop serious symptoms, or they transfer them to the hospital. Obviously, most of them are being transferred to the hospitals because these facilities don't have the resources in place to have these COVID units, if you will, set up at their locations on top of having all of their other residents in place as well. As I'm sure most of our listeners know by now, one of the two major COVID-19 outbreaks in local long-term care facilities happened right here in Plant City. Between the two locations, there's been 141 cases in just the past week or so as of the latest numbers at the time we recorded the podcast. On top of the rampant spread through those two facilities, the county has also been heavily increasing its testing. So now we're up to like 1.9%, I think was the number they used, of the county's population, which partly attributes to the higher numbers. We had been averaging around about 1%, a little over 1%. So the more tests you have, the more numbers you'll have come back positive, because like we've mentioned repeatedly, asymptomatic carriers are the ones we're most concerned about because we can't track them down. We don't know who has it. Now that we're seeing an increase in cases and testing as a whole, the question became, is the county ready for the potential negative domino effect as the state begins to reopen? Are there enough hospital beds and equipment if things go south? In an effort to answer that, Tampa General Hospital and the University of South Florida created Project Aspect, a study that gathered data from 51 hospitals in 13 counties. They're reporting how many COVID-19 patients they have, how many of those are on ventilators, and how many are in the ICU. Interestingly enough, the data also uses cell phones to kind of highlight probable hotspots, which they intend to use as a means of essentially cutting to the source if things go south. Obviously, the concept of using people's data in that method didn't sit well with everyone at the meeting. Temple Terrace Vice Mayor Andy Ross said the process sounded big brotherish. The EPG is going to continue to meet on Monday and Thursday for at least one more week via a video conference, which you can watch on the county's YouTube and Facebook pages at 1:30 p.m. on said days. Next week, they're expected to discuss if twice a week is still the plan or if they want to go down like they were at the beginning to one day a week, which would be Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. As Florida continues to reopen and people once more are out and about, the county will be heavily monitoring people's health. The hope is everyone will continue to practice safe social distancing as much as possible, and then they can in turn contribute to keeping COVID-19 on the decline. They still recommend mask wearing in public. They still recommend keeping 6 feet apart from others, and of course, practicing good hygiene like frequent and thorough hand washing. We don't know all of the details of what the next phases are going to look like in opening the state. The very first phase just went into effect this week, and some of our local restaurants took advantage of it, and they have opened with the 25% capacity. we're seeing that slowly we're going back to normal, but what is that normal going to look like? That is really the question everyone is posing. I know when we were driving around town this week or going to pick up food, some of the restaurants that I was seeing, people were wearing masks inside and they only took them off to eat. A lot of people were still utilizing takeout. They didn't feel comfortable yet going inside. I know I'm one of those. Some restaurants, even though they could have opened, chose not to. They're unsure yet and they don't want to put their employees at risk. So really, right now we're all just kind of waiting to see what comes next. We need to see what the next phase is going to look like. We need to see what the data indicates. Are we still going to see a rise, or do we kind of have this under control? The recent and unexpected outbreak of COVID-19 in our long-term care facilities, including the one right here in Plant City at the Community Care Center, was a curveball none of us were expecting. It had been Dr. Douglas Holt's quote-unquote worst nightmare, as he has frequently said in EPG meetings that that is the worst case scenario that we have to prepare for because that is the most vulnerable population. So we wait. And if everyone continues to be as safe as they can, hopefully we can let this be one hurdle and not a domino effect that will just continue to ravage the county. Everyone at the EPG, including our medical experts, were still optimistic. Our numbers never hit the worst case scenario we had estimated out the gate. So that's a good sign. It shows that people in the community do care and they were safe. And, you know, with the policies we had in place, we were able to kind of tamp it down, if you will. I heavily recommend watching the EPG meetings. Again, they're on the county's Facebook and YouTube pages, and you can hear a lot of the intricate data coming from these experts, as well as hear what your elected officials are saying as they volley back and forth with different ideas and questions. All right. Yeah. So that's a pretty vague update, Justin. Back to you.
All right. We're going to move on now to our talk of the town. This week, we want to look on the bright side and find out what's given you hope or has inspired you during this time when everything's crazy and there's a lot of stuff to be depressed, sad, angry about, whatever. Anyway, we took to Facebook, we asked you, and here's what you had to say. And again, I apologize in advance if anybody's name does not sound like it should when it comes out of my mouth, because I'm not great at this thing. Anyway, Deanna Shaw said, "My daughter Chelsea, she had a very hard delivery on April 24th, and with no family members allowed in the hospital during this COVID-19 and a two-day ICU stay, she gave me the most beautiful grandbaby I could ever ask for. She inspires me daily." And by the way, congratulations, Deanna. Laura Van Landingham said, "I've been inspired by the way people are caring for each other, and I have hope that as time goes by, we will continue this kinder treatment of each other." Brenda Rice said, "The way people came together and took care of one another. Companies that made hand sanitizer or ventilators so quickly. Good cheer, like Disney doing the sing-along. Churches having sing-alongs like Church on the Rock did. Drive-in church, drive-by greetings. Parents showing their kids, this is how you handle the hard times. Stores looking out for our elderly and medical personnel. The attitude and gratitude of so many." Susan Fairchild Gray said, "The community support extended to local restaurants in the way of to-go orders has been heartwarming." Alan Jackson, not the country singer, said, "Less crime, a reversal of the effects of climate change, and a return to prayer." Edwin Alexander Mejia said, "The stimulus check," which I agree with. Amanda Pierce said, "Spending more time with family and e-learning with the grandchild. This has really made people think what is important and what is not. If this virus doesn't segregate us, it will be a better Plant City. Let's get to living and loving again." Speaking of the talk around town, one thing I think a lot of people in Plant City are pretty anxious about getting back is the Plant City Family YMCA, which as of today doesn't have a hard return date, but we still wanted to get the latest on what's going on with the Y, what they're up to, and maybe what their predictions are for this. So we got Paul Conley on the phone to join us this week. All right, Paul. So thanks for doing this, by the way. Appreciate it. Good to have you on the show.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so one thing I wanted to start with was just getting an update on the Y. I wrote that story back in March about where you guys were planning on going from here, so I kind of just wanted to get a feel for how much has changed since then and what all's going on.
Well, Yeah, I mean, everything's changed really here recently. We've taken it as an opportunity to do some really great work that I'm real proud of. The biggest thing we've done is we kind of, we always are in the childcare space, but we essentially, on a dime, flipped to became a childcare center for the essential workers working to keep us all safe and healthy and moving. And we're able to take a little bit of the burden by taking care of the kids and keeping them engaged. And, it's not like a normal summer camp where it's just as many fun activities as possible. We're working with kids in their homework, and we're scheduling around their classroom Zooms and all kinds of things that we didn't think we'd be doing here not very long ago. And then as a Tampa-Y, we've really moved our online platform to keep people moving and keep people hopefully exercising. And then we've also our veggie van that comes into different communities and provides fresh fruit and vegetables. We've been able to increase some stops with that, and right now we're doing that no charge to the community. So I'm really proud of the work we're doing. I think we've made the most of this situation, but I'm very excited to become fully open and operational and just waiting on that date.
Yeah, you mentioned when we last talked for that story back in March, this was going to be a pretty good opportunity for you guys to see how innovative you can get, and it sounds like you definitely hit that mark for sure.
Yeah.
So is there anything you've learned from working under COVID, with expanding the childcare offering, stuff like that, that might carry over into when everything's back up and running like normal again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've learned some of the beginning steps of, how do we socially distance children? That is a challenging task, and we have learned from other wise and through trial and error here a little bit as well of some of the activities we can do, some that we can't do, and some of the visual markers that we've put within the building, so that a child knows to stand on this blue square has been very beneficial. And I think, it's almost becoming normal place where we check the temperature of anybody that's coming in the building right now. Staff we're checking our temperatures just to ensure that we're as healthy as we can and that we don't have children that are, that are sick in with us. So it's been a lot of learning. And I think learning some different second, third, and fourth grade maths as well.
Gotcha. So obviously you guys are going well out of your way to help out in the community. That hasn't changed, but how has the community reached out to you guys to lend a helping hand? I know obviously when everything was normal, you guys had a lot of community support, but what's it looking like these days since everything's a little bit trickier with social distancing and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been amazing, really. So we wanted to give all of our members an option to either put their membership on hold until we reopen, or to continue the membership, and it's a donation to provide programs like the Relief Care and some of the other programs that we're doing, and really keep us moving as we look to reopen. And we have seen an incredible amount of people being willing to support. It's been really astounding. And, I called a number of the folks that, to give them their option. And, there wasn't there were so many positive conversations of how much the Y has meant to them, how much they miss the Y, their friends at the Y. So we are just trying to, kind of help those people, but they've really looked to help us. In addition, the support level folks, the businesses and the individuals that give at our banner level have continued to renew. We've had a few increase their gifts because they, I think they really believe in what we're doing right now and into the future. One to spotlight is Unity in the community that's been so great to us. They just made a donation of $10,000 for the Y. And then if you look globally at the Tampa Association, our cost to run childcare for a week is, anywhere from, we normally do camp right under $150 a week, $25 to $30 a day is what it breaks out to be. Well, we were able to get a grant from the Florida Blue Foundation, and it was a $100,000 grant that allowed us to run this program at $50 a week, $10 a day, which has just been incredible. Ability for us to do really at just an incredibly low cost. So generosity has been great. We obviously understand that there's so many businesses and individuals that are going through tough times right now, but people have been more than supportive.
That's awesome. So I know you guys don't have a hard return date set yet. None of the Tampa Ys do, but is there any new programming that you guys are working on for the future, whether it's something you think you can do that's new as soon as you reopen, or something like, hey, we're thinking along like August, September, when it's more than likely that it'll be reopened again. Is there any new programming that's in the works?
Well, I think that we have some different ideas on how we're going to kind of reinvent some things, but it's going to be kind of dependent on the... once we get the official guidelines and the go-ahead to resume operations, that's going to tell us a lot of the story. Right now, I think our innovation, our focus is around how do we use space differently and how do we ensure that each member not only is safe, but feels safe when they are using, they're coming to the Y. Exercise is a great thing for all of us. It helps keep us all healthy. And we want to make sure that people feel comfortable coming here. So that's our main focus right now. I think as we kind of get that part confirmed how we're going to do it, what we need to do, and what we want to do, because we want to go above and beyond whatever the recommendations are. We want every single person to feel comfortable and safe at the Y. So, in terms of programs or innovation, we have some ideas, but really right now it's kind of waiting to see what we can do and what's recommended to do before we kind of move forward in those ways.
Gotcha. All right. That's all I got for you. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you being on the show this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great talking to you, and I appreciate what you guys do.
All right, let's get right back at it and get to the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation, where Bree and I try to tell you how to not go crazy as two people who are used to being stuck inside all day, but usually by choice. So, actually, one thing I've been doing lately that has not kept me inside, I bought a penny board back in January, one of the little 20-something-inch skateboards, totally plastic. My intent was whenever we moved back downtown, which actually we did today, I was going to use that to skate around downtown more. I can go to Crazy Cup, I can go to the gym, I can go get food, whatever. Just kind of get back to my roots and get on the board again. So that kind of got tabled as the COVID-19 thing happened. I haven't been leaving the house as much. We didn't move downtown, so I didn't have an excuse to go do that. I can't just skate from my place over to Crazy Cup. I'd probably die. But I've been itching to get back out there lately, and it just finally took until recently when some of my friends on Facebook started posting old skate videos that I grew up with, especially Yeah Right, which was Girl Skateboards video from, I think, 2003. And I just got super into it. I'm like, I got to get back on the board. So I've been hitting it a little bit more lately. Actually, just the other day, I skated around kind of by Lincoln Elementary, and it was a lot of fun. It was great to get back on the board again, get the wind in my face, all the fresh air, stuff like that. It kind of took me back, and I was really happy. So I encourage anybody to, you know, maybe whether you were a skater at some point like I was, not that I was very good, but I tried. Maybe you were into BMX or you just like biking, whatever. Just, you know, maybe get back out there and give it a shot again. There is a company called Retrospec that sells bikes, skateboards, things like that. Retrospec is retro, and then spec is SPEC. They have pretty good deals on stuff. I actually got my board for about $25 on sale in January, but I think before that it was like $30. Nothing too crazy. And some of those penny boards can go for like upwards of $100. So you're getting a pretty good deal there. So, you know, it's a little bit different than, you know, running or anything like that. It's just something fun to do. I highly encourage everybody to check it out. Bree, what about you?
Yeah, so, you know, I think something that we've been seeing as Florida begins to reopen is a confusion among people on whether or not they should completely go back to normal. If you're listening, you probably know our thoughts on that. We've been very vocal about the statistics and data that shows we still need to be operating under an abundance of caution, to say the very least. So for those of you who are going to follow that desire to be cautious, you're probably still going to be staying home as much as possible, and you're more than likely still working from home. I don't know very many businesses that have had their employees go back yet. So one thing you can do to kill the hours and still feel productive is to learn something new. And I'm going to be completely honest right now. I miss college. I miss showing up to class every day and learning something I didn't know before. I do not miss the assignments, and I definitely don't miss the deadlines that had me in the library until 4 o'clock in the morning cramming or pulling off something I should have been working on for weeks and chose not to. But I do miss the lectures. Over the past few weeks, if I find myself laying awake in the middle of the night, usually I get up and I play a video game or watch a TV show or read a book or something. But recently I've started to use that time to take free classes online or listen to a lecture on Audible. And there's two websites out there that I really want to kind of highlight. There's, I think it's pronounced Coursera, and then there's edX, which is ED and then X. They have courses from some of the leading universities across the country, and many of them are completely free. You just have to have an account. So you can use all kinds of resources that normally you have to pay, you know, several hundred, if not thousands of dollars to enroll with and get it for free. So you can take a Effective Altruism or an Imagining Other Earths class from Princeton, or a Masterpieces of World Literature or Contract Law from Harvard. You can take the Age of Sustainable Development and Artificial Intelligence from Columbia. The deeper you go on this, you know, these websites, the more you'll find. And if you ever wanted to learn something new, now's a great time to do it. Not everything on those sites are free, but a lot of it is. And you can also, if you are an audiobook person, which if you haven't tried it, highly recommend, Audible is really great because you can do it one of two ways. You can just have an Audible, you don't have an account, and you go on and you buy books that you want, pay full price for them, and then you just are using it whenever you want. Or you have a monthly membership, which is what I do, where every month you get a credit and you can buy anything you want on the website with that credit, regardless of price. So if I want to buy a, you know, $25, $30 lecture, I don't have to spend any money on it. I can just use the credit. So I've been all over that. So I've taken things like English grammar boot camps for work. I took a course on why evil exists, which was really good. Great mythologies of the world. I just started a How to Listen and Understand Great Music Better. It's the third edition because I've taken the first two already. A Children's Guide to Folklore and Wonder Tales. And some of them are shorter. Some of them are like 11, 12 hours. One of the ones I took was a 36-hour course. It was insane. It took me weeks and weeks to finish, but I finally did. And you feel a little bit better when you walk away because you have done something more productive than watch an entire reality show in, you know, 2 days, which I've done as well recently. So I highly recommend it if you are getting a little stir crazy and want all of the benefits of college without any of the stress. Then why not learn something that you've always been curious about? So highly recommend it. Go check it out. I've enjoyed it immensely.
I also miss college terribly, but there is one thing it probably still affects you because it still affects me and I'm pushing 30, but do you ever have a dream that you're about to be late for an exam and then you wake up and you hustle a little bit, you got to get ready for it, and then it hits you like, oh wait, college was forever ago. My bed's comfortable. I'm not in my dorm.
Yeah, and it's harder because I carry like my laptop and my stuff for work in a book bag. So there's always a book bag laying around. And sometimes if I wake up really early in the morning and I'm kind of, you know, still disoriented, I look over and I'm like, oh God, and then it hits. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's not class. You're fine.
It's always the same thing for me too, because there was one experience I had where I actually was super late and it affected me, but I took an intro to communications class, which was supposedly at FGCU, the easiest class you could ever possibly take there. But the guy held it at 8 a.m. so that he could weed out all the kids who weren't going to try very hard. And I'm not a morning person. I never have been. I probably never will be. So while the work was easy, my grades were good there, making it to class on time was not, and attendance counted. So we had, I guess you could call it my midterm, but we had 3 exams in there. And one of them was like the day spring break was starting, like I would be in there from 8 till 9:15 or whatever. I'd take the exam, and then as soon as I finished that, I'd be on spring break. I was like, okay, I studied. I was ready to go. Well, I didn't set my alarm that night, so I woke up at 9:12, and the class ended at 9:15, and I got really mad, and I punched a fridge, and I went on spring break, and I did typical college student things. But ever since then, that's stuck with me, so I get that pang of, oh, crap, I got to go. I'm about to be late for this comm exam. And then it hits me like I'm in Plain City in my home. I'm freaking out for no reason.
Right.
I might as well just go back to sleep. So anyway, we are going to look for the helpers to end things this week, as always. It's Positive Vibes Only in this little corner of the show. And once again, I want to ask all of you listeners out there to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about on the podcast. Bree, we'll put a smile on your face this week.
So this week, I'm actually going to talk about a story that you wrote, Justin. Uh-huh. Your write-up on Colonel Lonnie Davidson was one of the best things I'd read in a while, and it made me feel so happy afterward that I couldn't not share it. It's amazing. So for those of you that haven't read the paper yet, Davidson is a World War II veteran. He's been in Plant City for over 30 years, and he is moving to California to stay with his daughter. So we're all isolating right now. We can't have our typical big parties, big, you know, hoorahs and send-offs, but the community gathered together to send him a really unique send-off. From what I understand, you know, based off of reading your article, he found out on Sunday, literally the day of the parade, that he was going to have a parade in his honor. Then he realized he was going to be in it, and he's sitting in the front of a PCBD car in front of the First Presbyterian Church and turns around, and there's like 30 cars lined up behind him with American flags and handmade signs. And so Plant City Police Department, they kind of wove the parade from the church to the man's house. And he stood at the edge of his driveway with family and neighbors, and literally almost 30 cars slowly would drive by, and each one would stop and through the window kind of share a memory or thank him for his service. And Davidson, he told Justin that the parade was the most humbling experience of his life. And Justin pointed out just how impactful that comment was, because this is a guy that served overseas from 1942 to 1946. He was there for both D-Day at Omaha Beach and the Battle of the Bulge in a span of 6 months. And he was later named Knight of the French Legion of Honor for his service in that country. And his life story was told in the book Duty, Honor, Country by I think it's Kelly Therrington.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to have been so humbled by that, that really shows how much it meant. And City Commissioner Mike Sparkman helped organize the parade and got Plant City Police Department there. But I really think while this meant a lot to Davidson, it also meant a lot, I think, to the rest of the community, because we're seeing that people here care so much about each other and they support each other and they're willing to make sure that this man remembered for the rest of his life that Plant City loved him as he prepared to go. And those people went out of their way to do this for him. And it really just made me smile. So that's my positive story for the week. I loved that story. I loved your write-up on it. So if you haven't read it, go to the plantcityobserver.com and check it out.
Well, yeah, on that note, I'm going to have to find a different parade to talk about. But no, going there this weekend was really cool. Just talking to Mr. Davidson and his family and stuff. Just incredible guy. So Plant City's definitely going to miss him. And, you know, I didn't know him that well, but I just, he just seemed like one of the coolest people ever. So, but yeah, it was really great to see the community rally like that. And also, as anyone who's spent even a little bit of time here knows, Plant City really strongly cares about its veterans. So obviously that was another big factor in this. And then you get, boom, like 30-something cars coming. And it was so cool. And the parades are a recurring theme lately. We've got some more coming up in the future I know about that we're going to talk about on future shows and in future issues of the paper. But one thing that happened recently, actually on Wednesday evening, was Plant City High School's baseball senior send-off, which was a big parade through Walden Lake. They started the clubhouse, and then they passed the polo fields. All the baseball players were there with their families. They had their senior pictures and their signs and stuff, and they were waving everybody. There's a big display in the background, class of 2020, stuff like that. But I think half the school showed up for this parade. Like, there was just an insane amount of cars. They completely filled the clubhouse parking lot, and then they're going up the ramp by where the golf carts were. They all just snaked down there. PCPD escorted them, and it was just crazy. But it was a really good thing to do for these kids to send them off and be like, hey, you know, we appreciate you. It stinks that you couldn't finish the season the way you wanted to, but, you know, your service to Plant City High School wasn't forgotten. And this was a very important senior class because a lot of these kids were crucial for the state championship they won last year, the first baseball state championship in PCHS history, which is kind of crazy considering some of the talent that's come through there over the years. But they were a part of a very meaningful, important season, probably the most important in school history, and they definitely deserve something like this. So that was really cool to see. And then, like I said, there's going to be more stuff going on. Plant City High School does have some more things in the works. Nothing super I'm able to talk about just yet, but they are not done. And I think everyone that goes to this high school, even works at this high school, is going to feel completely special, wanted, etc. by the end of the month. Anyway, on that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Stay tuned for next Friday's podcast, and you stay safe, Plant City.